I'm going to call this meeting of the Legislative Council to order. Today is July 13th, 2022 at 10:05 a.m. Legislative Affairs Agency Executive Director Jessica Geary, can you please call the roll?
Representative Kleeman.
Here.
Representative Edgman. Representative Foster. Speaker Stutes.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Senator Bishop. Senate President Michicki.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Hughes.
Here.
Senator Schauer.
Here.
Senator Stedman. Senator Stevens. Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
11 members present.
With 11 members present, we do have a quorum to conduct business. Vice Chair Reinbold, do we have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Hearing and seeing no objections, the agenda is approved. We will be going into executive session to discuss matters relating to legislator social media accounts. And I will just remind online, we do have several members of the council, Representative Stutes, Michicki, Tuck, Schauer, Tilton. We also have Rep. Eastman online, who can remain online as a member of the legislature. Staff will be named who are asked to stay in the room, and we will go. We'll ask Senator Hughes.
Could you please repeat those online?
Representative Stutes, Representative Eastman, Senator Michicki, Representative Tuck, Senator Schauer, Representative Tilton. Brief at ease. I'm going to call us back to order. Vice Chair Reinbold, do we have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters, the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of government, and 22B3, discussion of a matter that may, by law, be required to be confidential. The following individuals may remain in the room or online for the executive session: Jessica Geary, Sante Lesh, Megan Wallace, Emily Nauman, Angela Steffel, any legislators not on Legislative Council, and any staff of Legislative Council members, and Alex Foote.
Ms. Geary, can you call the roll on the motion?
Representative Kleeman.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senate President Michicki.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
11 yeas, 0 nays.
With 11 yeas, we have the votes to go into executive session. We'll take a brief at ease while we secure the room.
Recording is off. To resume recording, press star 9 again.
We are back on the record. We need to take a roll call to confirm that we still have quorum. Ms. Geary, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Clayman. Representative Edgman.
Here.
Speaker Stutes.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Here.
Senate President Michiki.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Hughes.
Here.
Senator Schauer.
Here.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
10 members present.
With 10 members present, we still have a quorum to conduct business. Ms. Geary, I'd like you to walk us through what has been titled and is called our working draft on Legislative Council social media policy.
All right. Good afternoon, Chair Hannon, members of the council. For the record, my name is Jessica Geary, Executive Director for Legislative Affairs Agency. As some of you are aware, Legislative Council was tasked with updating our social media guidelines. We haven't had an updated guideline since September of 2011. Lots have changed in the world of social media. It was recommended by the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics that we update our policy specifically pertaining to comments. So as an agency, we reached out to some of our contacts with National Conference of State Legislatures, Council of State Governments, Megan and my counterparts in other states got information based on how they handle social media policies, whether they have a social media policy. We modeled our working draft, which I'll go through in a moment, after the Colorado legislature's social media policy. It's very similar in form. And in essence, the recommendation is there's no requirement for a legislator to have a social media account, either as an official account or as a personal account. However, it's the recommendation that if you do choose to have a personal social media account, that you do not post about legislative matters on that personal account, because that could open that page up to scrutiny and have it considered a government account or a limited public forum. So in other words, you should have one or the other, not blend into both. So to mitigate the risk that a personal account will be interpreted as an official account, legislators should maintain highest privacy settings and don't make the personal account available to the public, meaning that it's not a public account. It's open to those that you choose to accept as friends or depending on the platform that you're using. Designate it a personal account, not a public or an official account. Don't make it look like an official account or one related to your office. Don't include official email accounts or links to your personal page. Don't ask for feedback about legislative matters, etc. If you do choose to have a official account, the recommendation is that you consider it to be more of a bulletin board type account where you post information but don't allow dialogue. And in that case, you're not allowing for a public forum. The other thing contemplated in this policy is, of course, if you choose to treat your Facebook page or your social media page as an official account and you want to allow those to engage, that regardless of whether what's being written or commented is hateful, defamatory, any of those criteria that we normally look at, the recommendation is you don't delete, you don't block, you don't hide, you just, everything goes or nothing goes is the safest way to avoid risk of litigation. If a member is sued based on information on their social media page, there's different tests that the courts will look at, and this is the safest recommendation that can be made
The one other thing I'd mention is there is a warning on here that if a legislator's use of a social media account does not adhere to the recommendations outlined above, the legislator assumes all risk and responsibility for any litigation that results from that choice. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Megan's happy to answer any questions.
Senator Reinbold, and hold on. Somebody could put their phone on mute that is shuffling papers. Thank you. Senator Reinbold.
I'm going to be cautious on discussions in regards to this because I do have issues going on in regards to this issue. In the big picture, it is a new emerging area of law for as you stated multiple times. But I am concerned of constitutional rights of a private citizen. We are a private legislature, or a partial, what's it called? It's a part-time legislator, a citizen legislator. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Senator Hughes. You do have to have a page, and I mean a personal profile, in order to have pages at this time. But I will tell you, it's an emerging area because is it international, national, state? You know, what issue? Whose jurisdiction is this? It's a huge issue. I mean, court cases have been vacated, and a lot of people have bowed away from this. But I think that Facebook does give tools to hide, ban, lock, not have any comments at all. I mean, those are all the options, and some of them are new and emerging. I didn't even know they were available. But the bottom line is I do believe that there needs to be decorum, even on social media. Is it a government paid for, government run platform, or do you lease a little portion, you know, for yourself? And is it a privately funded corporation who runs Mega, or is it publicly traded? I mean, there's just so many issues of who actually owns that space and who signs on to the terms of agreement. When that is, does the state agree to those terms? I think that's really, really important. But the big picture here is I think decorum needs to be there. I think you say we risk less litigation if we just hide all the comments or something, or not allow any comments, something like that. But you also, if it is a forum and there is commenting potentially, is it a government or not? Those questions need to be asked. But here we don't want to create a loophole for hate, harassment, bullying, slander, etc. as well. So I think that, you know, those kind of issues, I think it's really important to establish decorum, just as we do in committee hearings or in the court, etc. So I do think this is a double-edged sword, this policy. And I think restricting freedom of speech or freedom of association when you're a citizen-based legislature as well, I think is an important consideration as well. And there is case law already in regards to some of those issues.
Representative Edgman.
Yes, presumably for future consideration with just the draft policy in front of us, some questions I'd like to put out there. Be a little nitpicky here, but do we have a definition of an official account? Should that be in the policy? On page 2, you know, legislative matters, should that also be sort of defined, given that the world of social media, legislative matters perhaps has broader connotation than it does otherwise, because I don't think legislative matters is defined in state statute. I'll just put that out there for food for thought. Third item would be legislative staff. Do we need to have that? Let's see. Not. I guess the fourth question I would have or comment is the first sentence on page 2. There's no constitutional requirement that a public official maintain a social media account. That seems to me to be a redundant statement. No, that's true. perhaps by starting the paragraph out with, if a legislator chooses to have an official account, would be a little bit cleaner. And then just to wrap things up by saying, you know, perhaps on the first page you have a sort of a semi-definition of what a personal account is, but you don't for official account. And I know an official account is a legislative account, but if you're going to have a policy and you want it sort of fully sort of delineated, might be worthy of having a sentence or two in that.
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, those are great suggestions, and certainly something that will help make a policy that comes out of this committee clearer and lead to less confusion. So thank you.
Senator Hughes.
I think the policy needs work, and I'm not in a place, Madam Chair, to approve it. I think it's kind of delving in as far as the things, instructions to our personal account. I think it goes overboard. I'm surprised Colorado would have something such as this, the solicit campaign contributions. That, you know, it's, if it's not a legislative page, why is that a problem, as an example? And saying also that, and there was case law in the memo, I believe it was a legislator with Twitter. It was a personal Twitter page for the most part, but occasionally had information about upcoming hearings and such. So I totally telling a legislator on their personal page they could not let their friends and family know about something going up is beyond the pale. That's like me going to Thanksgiving dinner and not being able to talk about something that's happening that might be of interest to a family member. And also the last bullet under that one, currently many legislators provide their cell number in whether they're communicating from their office in their newsletter. And so I think there's a little bit of a problem there. So I think we're invading into an area more than we should be in that policy. The other thing on page 2, some of us rely on the input through social media to a great extent. Some do not. And some, because of proximity, for instance, the legislators who live in Juneau, for instance, the importance of communicating through Facebook would be far less than someone that lives outside the Juneau area. So I think we have an equal protection issue. It'd be a lot easier for a Juneau legislator, for instance, to say, you know, I can just turn off the public comment here. I can connect with my constituents through the session. That's not the same for the rest of us. So I think there's an equal protection issue. I also am concerned from a legal standpoint, if a legislator were to leave on the comments and not delete or hide or block or do anything and allow profanity, allow violent threats, things like that, I think we are actually, I don't want an X-rated Facebook page, and I don't want to be enabling criminal action by someone coming on my page and organizing some kind of a violent protest or advertising something like that. So I do think that the recommendation that you have to just leave everything is would actually put the legislature in a place where they could bear responsibility for those kind of actions if they were moved forward. So I think you'd have to have some parameters back to what Senator Reinbold mentioned, what Senator Michiki, there has to be some degree. We've got to be able to put some parameters. And just as we put parameters in public hearings in the Capitol building, we put parameters in town halls where people, if they cross the line, they are asked, you know, we turn off the phone, we ask, they might be escorted out. These are kind of things that I think we may need to be, if no other legislature across the country has taken these kind of steps, maybe Alaska could be the lead and having perhaps a subcommittee, Madam Chair, or work group work through these kind of things and have these discussions, I think is important. I want to say one more thing. There was a question that it could be proposed, well, if you block everybody, as this is currently recommending, and you just put on your page, if you have input, here's my email address, here's my office number, I would say that you could also, if we didn't have the recommendation to totally turn off the comment, we could have a recommendation simply that if someone crosses the line with, let's say, profanity, violent threats, that they're given a warning, that would be reasonable, and then that they be offered, you know, if they don't abide, that they say, here's my email address, here's my phone number, I'm available to meet with you this week. Please call and set up an appointment. You're basically doing the same kind of thing as for the, that one person that might be bullying, as you would be if you turned off everything for all people and said, here's my phone number, here's my address. So if that's okay to do it for everyone, here's my phone number and address, you can't make any comments on my page, that should be okay for the one individual to be able to give phone, phone, email, and an opportunity to meet in person as a way for their freedom of speech not to be curtailed altogether. So I think there's work, a lot of work to be done on this, and so I can't support it as written. Thank you.
And just so you know, Senator Hughes, we were not looking for approval on this today. It is a working draft that a lot of time has gone into. But as you know, crafting language in committee, it's always better to start with something and then be editing than starting with the nebulous all words in the universe. That is the intention, that this is the working draft. This is not the first time you've had the opportunity to see it, but it is the first time we've talked about it.
So, Chair? Yes. And I really appreciate the beginning work and the research. And I think the next step, and Madam Chair, I realize we weren't ready, but what I'm saying as written, and I think to have legislators who have been in the weeds with this kind of stuff and dealing with it and their experience, because those who drafted this haven't been in our shoes as far as how it works on a day-to-day basis. And so I think that input from legislators would be important as to make edits and such.
Yes, that's what we are. Yeah, so these are helpful comments, and I know that I'm writing them down, and I'm sure that my staff will be reviewing the minutes to make sure that the next version of the draft we see has incorporated the questions or points that are being raised today. Senator Ryan.
Thank you, and I want to agree, be associated actually both with Edgeman and Senator Hughes, and your comments, Representative Edgeman, I think are excellent. I have asked those questions over and over again. What defines it as official? That is critical, especially when it's not a required official legislative duty. And today I am speaking in my official capacity as Vice Chair of Legislative Council. It is an issue we are all facing, and I'm in this position. So I think it's very, very important to understand that it does potentially cross over if you have a personal profile, and then you have just your title, you know, over, is that's not necessarily official at all. If it's not, if the state didn't agree to the terms, it's not managed by IT, it's, you know, it, or your staff, et cetera. There's so many complications in regards to this. But I would like to say that when you are in Juneau, I think equal access is a critical issue that Senator Hughes, not only equal protection, but also what if constituents don't have Wi-Fi or don't have a computer or don't have access to social media? Is that equal access? Do we really want to take this on? It's a huge, huge issue. Does the state then need to agree to these terms if it's quote-unquote official? For example, with me, when I was banned on Alaska Airlines, social media and email, those are primarily, you know, two key ways that I could communicate. It was absolutely very, very, very important to have the opportunity to communicate with people back home. I do think in indemnification, it can't be arbitrary. I think that's very important, that you can't pick and choose who you're going to indemnify and who you're not. That we can't have arbitrary policy if you're a club holding member or not, potentially. Another thing, Facebook restricts me. I can tell you they've restricted, and I've had several, and I've kept good documents of this. Is that now restricting or interfering with my official duties? And is that an act to be considered? If Facebook is restricting me, let's say what you guys call an official page, what I say, I'm a government official. I don't say it's an official page. I say it's not an official page in my rules. So it's a very complicated issue. But then if you guys are claiming that it's an official page, is Facebook now restricting legislative actions and interactions? It's very, very important, let alone our freedom of speech and our freedom to publish, etc., knowing that the First Amendment says that we have to bear the abuses thereof. And that's why I think it's so, if we've leased that space on Facebook as a private citizen and hate speech and even death threats or anything is on there, we have to have the ability to protect ourselves. But banning everybody and blocking everything, I think, is a controversial policy, because then it is just, like you said, a bulletin board. Why not just use a website, a state, you know, website? In regards to making this policy, I think it is rife with errors. I could not support the policy as it stands now, because I think that it interferes, it combines too much with the private sector, public sector. There's all sorts of issues, what's official, what is not, and I literally have like 50 questions. I know we don't have time to deal with all my questions today. I do believe that this should be brought up in that the legislature sets policy. Ethics is not supposed to be setting policy. The court should not be. We should be setting policy, legislative policy. I think the Constitution allows us to set policy and also to deal with the power of the purse. And it's something, as a legislator, I really, really do want to defend in regards to policy. But I would go with extreme caution if a policy is set, because it can have tremendous impacts to the public and constituents potentially, and even public in general. And then you go internationally as well. Do you block? Last night when I was trying to work and trying to figure out this policy, I even found a place where you could block in certain countries. And does this apply locally? Does it apply just to constituent? Is constituent defined? When I ask ethics, constituent wasn't even defined fully. They've even messed around that. But we all have what we believe is somebody in our district as a constituent. That is a well-grounded, what we all see as a constituent. But then ethics wanted to tread on that issue in potentially a different way. So I think it's a very, very, very complicated issue. And I think we need to be extremely careful with how to proceed. The one thing we can say, it's not settled in court. It's not settled in the law. It's not settled in policy. We just have some guidelines right now. And I just think that it's extremely, extremely important that this be vetted with all legislative members and with the public, and that the public weighs in on this issue. And I like another person in the room, we've had a discussion. We do believe that this needs to be vetted potentially with the statute, so that the public and all the legislators can weigh in on this. And with that, thank you.
All right. Anyone else seeking the floor or feedback to us on the working draft? Seeing and hearing none, and with nothing further to come before the council, we're going to adjourn at 1:29 p.m.